Blog Talk Radio.
That's why the Christians sing the song, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Because it wasn't my Lord's trial, it was yours, because that man walked among you. That man taught you. That man healed the blind, made the deaf hear, the dumb speak, and raised the dead to life.
People held me in such high regard after hearing me till they just wanted to touch me. And I would like my children to say to me, "We watched you all your life struggle. To see the rise, black people. Take your rest. We will carry on this mission."
We've been playing with you, marketing Jesus like some product, but ain't nobody walking behind the man. You think by praising his name that that will get you into the kingdom? If you're not willing to walk the walk, then keep his name out your mouth, because you're nothing but a lying hypocrite. Listen to me good, because I'm coming after you.
Wow. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is indeed our messenger, our teacher, our leader, our guide, our comforter, our warner. He is the Son of Man in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it is such an honor to be here tonight, not only with all of you, but with a brother who I often tease about being the father of my wisdom. He definitely needs no introduction whatsoever. He has been a long-standing, consistent soldier on the side of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and a great helper to all of us in the nation and to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he is now taking on a new task of venturing out across the country once again to help our minister pass on this life-saving and life-giving teaching. So I'm not going to introduce him, but I'm going to present our beloved brother, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your program this evening.
And the honor is mine, dear brother, and we're going to be joined at the top of the 7 p.m. hour by student minister Dimitri Muhammad. And, of course, I'm sure he's going to expound further on his book, Who They Say I Am, The Vindication of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But right now we have Brother Jamil, who has so graciously joined us. And Brother Jamil, you know, the purpose of this program, when it came to mind as I was scrolling through Facebook a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little longer than that, and I was looking at some various comments from different people from different walks of life. They were Hebrew-like, they were Christians, they were non-denominational, atheists, whatever they were. And there has been, appears to be, a great misconception about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And when I looked at that, Brother Jamil, I was like, wow, how could he be so misunderstood after giving almost 60 years of his life to this cause, to think that they are some kind of hidden agenda? And so I wanted to give the people an idea of who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is, and of course someone who worked with him for so long, and you know, you had the opportunity to be around him for a number of years and observe his personality. So just in a few words, Brother Jamil, who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
He's God's servant in our midst. He belongs to Allah. He's owned by Allah and his Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, given to the honorable Elijah Muhammad as a gift by Allah. I firmly believe that at Savior's Day 1955, Master Farad Muhammad, Allah in person, presented Minister Farrakhan to his messenger, now Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as a Savior's Day gift. The honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about the value of Minister Farrakhan. Many of us are familiar with this particular quote. I'll paraphrase it here. And the honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke to the minister about his value to him, how he was greater in value to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad than 10,000 planes filled with 10,000 head of sheep on each plane. That's a renewable natural resource, you see. That's livestock that reproduces and increases wealth on top of wealth. But he's more valuable than those 10,000 planes with 10,000 head of sheep on each plane, and then truckloads and trainloads filled with diamonds and gold and jewels of every type. You know why he's more valuable to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad than any of that? It is because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to Minister Farrakhan, because through you, my brother, I will get all of my people. Getting all of the people is what this mission is about. Who is Minister Farrakhan? He is a man whose personality, whose way, whose mind, whose heart, whose thoughts, whose meditations, whose ruminations have been arranged and directed by the divine supreme being, all with the idea, thought, and purpose in mind to resurrect the mentally dead so-called American Negro. Sometimes, and I hope we get a chance to talk about this with Brother Dimitri on the line tonight, sometimes I am amazed at, and I'm really awestruck at the beauty of the personality of Minister Farrakhan. You know, personality doesn't constitute all of who we are, but it speaks about what is in our minds. I read this morning on Facebook a particular status by Sister Lisa Muhammad, our sister and teacher from Atlanta, Georgia, and she wrote on there that whatever you write on that Facebook status, it tells what's in your mind because it reveals your personality. Minister Farrakhan's personality is a personality after God. His heart is a personality and a heart, rather, after God. When you were presenting me to our brothers and sisters tonight, and you said that you had an opportunity to work for the minister, and you had an opportunity to be with him. I would like to just say by a word of gentle reminder that I would change only one thing in what you said, Sister Queen Aziza. I would say you have had the opportunity, and you have worked, because if I ever have my work with a past tense applied to it, then I hope that it is my time to be buried in my grave. If ever I say you used to work with him, or you had worked with him, or you used to do, ain't no used to in my game. I want to make sure that I'm doing what I do to this day, and I can bear witness to you that from the first time I saw the minister's face until the last time I saw him a few days ago, his heart and love and personality are intact. And who is Minister Farrakhan? I say again, he is the property of God, God's servant in our midst. And they say of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Holy Quran and in the Hadith and in reports of Sunnah, they call him the slave of Allah. Now that language for us black people in America is problematic. The slave of Allah. Sometimes our brothers and sisters from other parts of the Muslim world don't understand why that language is troublesome to us, because they don't understand what slavery meant in America and what it meant in their part of the world. But I will say this, no man comes to Allah, no man comes to God except as an honored servant. And Minister Farrakhan is honored and honorable. He is the servant of Allah in our midst.
Yes, sir, absolutely he is. And Brother Jamil, before we go on, someone has raised their hand, and I'm just assuming that they have something that they want to say. So the distinguished gentleman from Florida, Student Minister James Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
My brother.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister and Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and my dear brother and mentor, my beloved partner.
My brother.
Brother Student Minister Jamil Muhammad. I just tuned in to listen, dear sister, to be very honest. I'm on the road. I didn't necessarily want to have the interference of the noise of the road interfere with the show.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you just won. I thought you wanted to say something.
That's out of habit. That's out of habit, sis. But,
now that you press one, dear brother, how are you? And please tell us in your experience and in your mind, if you don't mind me, sister, I'm not the interviewer tonight, but Brother James, would you share with us, brother, your view on who Minister Farrakhan is, his heart of love for our people? How have you seen that made manifest in your experience with the minister?
Well, all of us must have a testimony, those of us who sincerely love and are the beneficiaries of the sacrifice, love, and charity of that man. I can say unequivocally that had it not been for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan standing up to reestablish the name, mission, and work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I would not have life. And when I say that, I mean it in the literal sense. And so I refer to him as my personal redeemer. Now, this is a man whose heart is after the heart of God, even as David, his heart was after the heart of God. And when that was declared, many of the scholars and many of those who were there with David questioned that declaration, because David...
Brother James?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You said because David, you're saying he was declared to be a man with a heart after God, and many of the scholars, and then you started fading out.
I'm sorry. But many of the scholars who reviewed that declaration, as well as those who were with David when that was stated. They knew David's life. They became familiar with David. And as the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. They did not think that he warranted such a magnificent accolade, such magnificent praise. Well, this is, and then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said one day, when the minister was at the table of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, "Brother, you remind me of David."
Mm-hmm. That's right. And David, David is referred to, isn't he called the archetype of Jesus?
He most certainly is. In fact, he is of the lineage of Jesus.
Okay.
He is called, Jesus is referred to in the scripture, as you know, he's the root of Jesse. Huh? And the seed of David.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So therefore, his reference to David having a heart after the heart of God is apropos. But of course, those who were familiar with David and had close proximity with David, they couldn't see the beauty of that man as the prophets saw him, as Samuel saw him. This is like the honor of...
Okay, Brother James, your mic is fading.
That's an example of how we depend on these cell phones, but I believe what my brother was bringing to us is an example of how the volume of the book is represented, Sister Queen Azizamar, is represented in the life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and yes, by the life of his extension, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There is no doubt about it. Those may not have been the one that were chosen by the other ministers of Master Farad Muhammad, but when he said, "Now may I select," you've heard from who you wanted to hear, but may I select the one? And he chose Elijah Kareem. They didn't choose him because he wasn't perhaps the one who on the surface met with their approval. But they understood after he began to speak. Maybe they didn't understand, but the God chose him. Just like when they were looking for somebody to be crowned king of Israel, and when they were looking for somebody that wasn't afraid to fight Goliath, and when they were looking for somebody to establish a place for the Ark of the Covenant, they found David in spite of the fact that David was deemed unworthy. So it is with the people that Minister Farrakhan represents. You and I are deemed a people too ugly, too savage, too wrapped up in the vestiges and residue of slavery to do anything for ourselves, and certainly not to call the world of faith and belief and religion and spirituality into any kind of order. But that is precisely the intention of God, to use the so-called American Negro to call the world to attention first and then to order under his command, showing and proving his power as God, that he can raise up a dead Negro, a dead nation, a dead black man and woman, and put us on the front line. This is the beauty of Minister Farrakhan's personality and his heart, sister, because he always reaches out, sees the good in so many different people that you and I may throw away. And we often wonder, why is he talking to this one? Why is he talking to that one? That's because we're not learning the way of Farrakhan. He comes with the heart of a savior. And the heart of the savior is to save. Why then do so many of us have the heart of a destroyer, looking to throw somebody away the first we think that something is wrong with them? I thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I thank Allah for him in his wonderful spirit of salvation. When you cry bitter tears of regret, some people know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get off by yourself and you close your eyes and the salty tears fall because you regret the mistakes that you've made and the errors that you've made and how you've harmed others and how you haven't done enough for the nation. But when you see the minister, he holds his arms open and he receives you and holds you and says, it's going to be all right. I remember Sister Queen Aziza Mariam, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had served a tour of duty there as the Southern Regional Minister. And Minister Farrakhan made a change, as he mentions in the pages, of closing the gap. He made a change in the administration, and after my tenure there, he installed my sister, the first woman to lead a Muslim congregation in the history of Islam, right there in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right.
And he was installing her at the Hillside Chapel, where the Reverend Dr. Barbara King was the and is the pastor there. And I remember I was sitting in the audience, and the minister called me from the back, and he said, Jamil, are you here? I said, yes, sir. He said, come here. And I ran down the aisle, and some people laughed at me, and some people made mockery of me, but I had my arms wide open because he was holding his arms open for me. And when I ran up on that pulpit, I hugged my minister, and I thanked Allah for him because he wasn't throwing me away. He's a beautiful man. I just wanted to know that he loved me because I love him. And I didn't know whether I had failed in my assignment. Was I some kind of botch-up artist? Was I messing up the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and making a failed representation of Minister Farrakhan? Had I so thoroughly screwed up my personal life and my private life and my public life and my mom's life? I didn't know what I had done, but he was making a change. And although I was ecstatically happy for the believers and joyous for Minister Ava, in my heart of hearts, I wondered, did I do something wrong? But when the minister called me there and he embraced me there, it gave me hope and it gave me joy and it let me know that he wasn't throwing me away and he still loved me. See, he's a beautiful man. He's careful not to damage and crush and destroy the spirit of people who sincerely come to help him in the cause. And even if they don't come to help him, he defends them. I got so many stories about that man's heart. So much love for that man. And if you try to say anything other than the fact that Minister Farrakhan is a man blessed with the indwelling spirit of Allah, I will call you a liar to your face, and I might slap a couple of your teeth out your mouth, because Farrakhan is a good man, a righteous man, an upstanding man, and he is the man of God in our midst. Take it or let it alone. Take it or let it alone.
Yes,
but if you're smart, you'll take it.
Sir. Okay, Brother James has come back on the line. Brother James, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. And what I feared definitely took place. We were cut off. I went into an area where we didn't have a signal. But I'm back now. But I just wanted to complete the thought. This man has a heart after the heart of God. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's reference to David as a reminder to him to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a reminder of David, it wasn't because David played an instrument, a string instrument, and so does the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I think, and I'll close on this point, just as the minister was hiding in the wings, even though he was the spoken and declared choice of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, so was David when Samuel came to find a king that he could anoint from the family of David. David was in the field doing the work, being a shepherd to the sheep, and that's significant. I won't go into the significance of it now, but David was minding the sheep. He was a young boy, not even worthy, according to his father, of being considered to be a king. And so when Samuel searched throughout the sons of David's father, he said, don't you have another? He said, I have another, but he's a young boy. He's in the field minding the sheep. He was commanded, bring him to me. And as soon as David came in the presence of Samuel, the Holy Spirit came down, according to the scripture, and anointed him. Therefore, Samuel knew this was the one. This was the choice of God. But he had to be protected. He didn't rise to kingship immediately. He had to be protected. So it is with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, being the declared one, being that one whom the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, every time you see him, look at him. And every time he speaks, listen to him. And when where he tells you to go, go. And where he tells you to stay from, stay from. He was commanding the nation, listen to this man. And he said, and I say to you, as he closed his statement, continue to hear my minister, Farrakhan. Well, that word continue means to keep going with the instructions you're getting until you are ordered to stop. Well, who will order a stoppage of that instruction? Well, it's the one that gave the instruction. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has not yet, nor will he, in my humble opinion, give the instructions for us to stop listening to the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is the vicar of Christ. He's the spokesperson for God. In fact, he's the mouth of God, as it is written in Scripture, that God would vanquish the wicked with the spirit of his mouth. That's a clear interpretation and demonstration and explanation of that one who would come and expose the wicked, and with that exposure and revelation, destroy the wicked. And that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So he's God's representative. And I just wanted to close that point. Thank you.
Yes.
As-salamu
alaykum. All praises due to Allah. Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. Thank you so much for that. Okay, and Brother Reginald, did you have something you wanted to say? My beloved co-host, usually on Thursday night, but we kind of switched places this week. So, as-salamu alaykum to your brother. How are you?
Oh, wa alaykum salam, beloved sister. I'm mighty fine. How are you?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. Yes, sir.
Oh,
and yourself?
I'm doing well by Allah's grace, and I send my greetings to you as well. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Beloved, how are you doing this evening?
Brother Jamil? Brother Jamil? And he's still on the line, but is there something that you want to share with us, Brother Reginald?
Yes, I just want to say, first, let me start off properly. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that he intervened in our affairs, the black man and woman of North America, in the wilderness, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and I further bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger and exalted Christ and Messiah, and I further bear witness that the Most Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, divine guide, and divine teacher in this mist of confusion and climax of the end of Satan's rule. And I want to greet all of the listening audience in the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum. I want to say, thank you, ma'am. I just want to say that, you know, I know how brothers are who are up under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They're very meek and very humble, just like they're in our spiritual father, Minister Louis Farrakhan. They really don't like to take compliments. They like to give it, you know, to really where it's properly due. But I have got to give these brothers credit for hanging in with the minister through all of these years and defending the minister nail and tooth, whoever comes their way, may it be the naysayers, the hypocrites, the non-believers. These brothers have stuck by the minister, and because of their sacrifice and hard work and dedication, we are able to have a show like this here. And when you hear these testimonies, you know, it's just like when you go to church and you have people that, members that give, they're ready to give their life over to Jesus, and, you know, they make their testimonials, and they get, you know, a bunch of amens, and people bear witness to their testimony, and it touches people. Well, this is a touching show here to hear testimonials of, you know, what they know of and about the minister, and not just about the minister, but the minister's heart, which is very, very, very in depth to know the minister's heart, his mind, and his love for black people in particular, and the whole of humanity. So what I want to say is, Brother Jamil spoke earlier of, you know, us as black people, we don't like to use that term slave. You know, he said the minister was a slave for Allah. Well, I mean, that's one of the best positions and titles you can have, because all it really means is you're a servant. And I know a lot of times I bring this up because I want us to always be aware of what Master Farah Muhammad did while he was in America before he left. He also was a catalyst, no, not a catalyst, but the catalyst for the inception of the Jehovah's Witness organization. In that organization, once you become baptized and you are a part of that organization actively or inactively, you are considered a slave for Jehovah. So it's like, okay, we got the Nation of Islam saying we're slaves for Allah, and then we got the Jehovah's Witness organization saying we're slaves for Jehovah. Well, we all should be slaves for the Most High. We should be his discreet slaves. And why they use the term discreet? Because we his people. Even though all is some Adamites, a lot of Adamites in the Jehovah's Witness organization, but we, the black man and woman, especially in particular in North America, are his discreet people, his chosen people. So who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? It has come a time now where, just like we read the Bible, we read the Gospel, the Torah, and we study Jesus. We study his words. We study his routes. We study his sermons. We study his fasting. We study his ability to resurrect the dead spiritually, mentally, morally. We study all that of Jesus. But now it has come the time, since we do know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we don't believe, we don't think, but we do know he is Jesus manifested in flesh in our midst today. So that means that if we studied the Jesus of 2,000 years ago, and it's 2014 and we're still studying him, we have to do some scientific study of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that's what this show is allowing us to do some scientific study of this man that is in our midst today. And we can start by just going elevating him all the way to the top. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a unique individual because he is one of the only men that I have ever come across that display all 99 attributes of Allah. Every attribute of Allah, the minister has it in his heart and in his breath. So when you're looking for the 99 attributes, because it's one thing to just be Muhammad, it's one thing to just be Farrakhan. But when you all of the above, that's when you know you have the vicegerent in your midst. And that's what he is, and I don't want to be too long-winded, but to sum it all up, in my humble opinion, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is Khalifa, the vicegerent of Almighty God, Allah. And I thank you for allowing me just to make that comment, and that is what I see, because I study the minister. You know, it comes at a point in my life where I'm like Jacob wrestling with the angel at night, just to, you know, to prove my love and my trust and my everything for the minister, because I fight for him tooth and nail too. So to wrestle with my mind, because my mind is saying, is this really the man? It's still a question in my mind. But after I finish wrestling, I have come to the conclusion of who he is, and that's why I want to share my testimony. It's a lot deeper than that, but this is not my show. So it is all about the minister. It is not about me. So I will conclude that. So in conclusion, once again, I thank you, Sister Queen Aziza, for allowing me to speak. And I thank you, Brother Beloved Jamil Muhammad, for giving your testimony. That's going to, you know, it's going to touch us, and it's going to make us love the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that much more. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you, Brother Reginald, for joining me and sharing your heart with us about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And let's see, did we lose Brother Jamil? Brother Jamil, are you there?
Jamil is back. I don't know if y'all could hear me.
Yes, we can hear you now. Okay. Now, we told you that Brother Student Minister Demetri will be joining us, and he has. So we're going to allow him to come forth and present himself. He's another one of our brothers and strong soldiers and helpers for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who needs no introduction. So allow me to be gracious enough to just humble my heart and show my appreciation and my love for our dear brother, and thank him so much for joining us tonight, Student Minister Demetri Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, Sister Gidja. How are you this evening?
I am blessed, sir. I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission. I'm honored to have you here once again with us. It's been a minute, and of course we missed you, but thank you so very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for extending the invitation. We're always very honored to have an opportunity to share with you and the great work that you do, providing for the believers and our supporters some much-needed alternative programming and a place where we can hear an inspiring word and prayerfully go out and do some inspiring work. So I'm really very grateful and appreciative for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. And, of course, we kind of already started, and Brother Jamil has shared with us, as well as Brother Reginald, about, you know, their outlook, for the lack of a better expression, of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I'm going to ask you, Brother Demetri, in your humble opinion, who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
That's a very broad and open-ended question now, isn't it? you could answer it in a word or volumes of books could be written to describe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I think that, you know, the minister is a man who fits quite nicely in the pantheon of black leadership. He went to great lengths to put before the world all of the great accomplishments and all of the great words of our great ones, those who have struggled, even though we may have had different ideologies, different methods of approach. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really showed who he is in that demonstration. But from my vantage point, he fits quite nicely within that stream of methodology and that stream of revolutionary activism has always been present among our people for the last four centuries. But I think where a lot of times we get into trouble with other people of religion is when we boldly declare that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also fits quite nicely in the great line of divine, meaning that the great prophets and messengers of God and that stream of the great revelatory tradition of the Abrahamic faiths and the world's community of religious devotees, and all of their sacred texts include mentions of certain notable ones who bring to the world guidance from God And many scholars of religion note that there's been a progression, there's been an evolution, there's been a build-up until we ultimately arrive at a particular kind of human being that really is a manifestation of God. And so I think that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I really describe him, we have to have an appreciation for both traditions. And we all in the Nation of Islam certainly have very deep beliefs where the minister is concerned, and oftentimes we kind of temper them when we go before the public. But I think the brother mentioned how we see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a manifestation of Jesus. I certainly share that belief. And I pray that Allah will bless us as the days go forward to be able to demonstrate that with our works. Because it's one thing to say that a man is a Jesus in your midst, but then pretty soon people begin to ask you, where are the works of the apostles? If you believe that he is that man and you follow him, then you should have works that are commensurate with one who is an apostle of such a man. And so I pray Allah will bless myself and all of us to begin to do the works of the disciples, to begin to do the works of the apostles, so that we show the world who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is. And so, again, as I said, Sister Gidget, that's a beautiful question. It's the question of the hour for sure. Can be, you know, described in a word or in a volume of books, but, you know, wonderful question. I appreciate the opportunity to respond to it.
Yes, sir. And, you know, of course, Brother Demetric, I have read your book more than once already, and there's just so much that you put into it. But the one thing I want to hear from you and Brother Jamil, as I stated earlier before you came on, Brother Demetric, just over the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, just reading some different posts on Facebook and just not quite understanding how people have misunderstood the minister so. And we know that there are naysayers out there, but when we talk about the heart of a man, it takes a particular kind of heart, and it takes a particular kind of determination and will and drive to do what he has done for as long as he has done. And I want to talk right now about some of the sacrifices that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made on behalf of our people, because with his talent and his abilities, he could have taken any other path that, you know, was available to him. But he made this decision, and in choosing this work in obedience to Allah, but in choosing this work, what have been some of the sacrifices? And I'm going to start with you, Brother Demetri.
Well, again, another great question. And when you talk about sacrifices, again, you know, the minister makes great sacrifices. Some are known and some are unknown. And we took up this subject in an article maybe a couple months ago about the minister's history entitled "By His Stripes We Are Healed." And we looked at some of the episodes in the life of Jesus and looking at how many scholars have compartmentalized Jesus's major beliefs and teachings, and I remember reading in one of my favorite texts from Professor O'Berry Hendricks entitled "The Politics of Jesus," and he outlined 7 revolutionary strategies that Jesus employed, and one of them that he identified was how Jesus took blows without returning them. And I certainly, upon reading that as he describes it, fitting the life of Jesus in the New Testament, I thought about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who for at least the last 37 years, being in the seat of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has withstood not only a blistering attack of negative propaganda from our enemies, but has also had to suffer the rebuke of other black leaders who have misunderstood him or who were afraid of the enemy and did the enemy's bidding in repudiating or condemning him. And yet the minister has always taken it. He's always absorbed it. He's always refused to retaliate in the public, even when having the right to do so. And it has had such a transformative effect among our people because he's kept down a lot of acrimony and strife that could have manifested itself in physical violence because he's always demonstrated his willingness to be the bigger brother, even going so far as to come to the aid and comfort of those who are prominent brothers and sisters who have gotten into trouble, who have had their reputations in tatters. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would come to their aid and publicly direct those who are his followers and under his influence to support them. I don't care if it was Marion Barry, Julian Bond, Arsenio Hall, Mel Reynolds, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Bishop George Augustus Stallings, you name it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has always come to the aid of our great ones, and it has had the effect of helping them to repair their reputations and come back on top. Probably the greatest example of that is when our great brother Marion Barry, whose ordeal was so public and transmitted all over the world via CNN, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan not only came to his defense in the public, redirecting the public's attention to all of the masses of taxpayers' dollars, the millions of taxpayers' dollars that the enemy spent to rob the District of Columbia of black leadership, but the minister also placed the seed in the mind of our brother. According to what people have shared with me who are up close and personal in that situation, it was the minister who put the seed in the mind of Mayor Barry to run again, and of course he ran again and he won. And so the minister has sacrificed, and he has always demonstrated a willingness to suffer for our people. And this is a story that must be told, especially in an hour when you have the likes of Fox News trying to point the finger at the Nation of Islam for receiving some Department of Agriculture farm subsidies, which our great attorney, Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, and our farm manager, Minister of Agriculture, Dr. Rizli Muhammad, defended in a brilliant article. But we have to begin to share with the public the actual facts, the empirical data of the minister's history, because it's not enough just to say we believe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is Jesus. People will dismiss that because religious people profess all kinds of beliefs. We have to associate distinct aspects of his history alongside the scripture to help people see exactly why we have arrived at such a conclusion. But again, I'll put a pin in it, but it's so much when you want to talk about what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has sacrificed.
Yes, sir, it is. It is. And Brother Jamil, you want to share with us anything about what the minister has sacrificed?
I know a little something of his sacrifice. I can't claim to know a lot, but I have seen some things during my time in the Nation of Islam. And first, I want to thank my dear brother, Brother Demetric Muhammad, for his always on point, always clear, always lucid explanation and contextualization of the events that we see swirling around our heads like so many objects of debris in a hurricane or a tornado, things just flying around. But Brother is always able to help us settle our understanding so we can settle the storm around us. And so, Brother Demetric, is always an honor to be with you in person, and certainly to appear with you on tonight's program is another tribute to you and a pleasure for me. So thank you, Brother, for your comment. But I would also
thank you, Brother. The honor is mine.
All praise is due to Allah. But I wanted to just camel back on something that Brother Demetric said during his comments. He talked about the seven strategies of Jesus and how one of those key strategies is that he received blows without returning them. That was revolutionary. That was unusual. That was different. That was odd, and it is. And the proof that Minister Farrakhan is walking in the footsteps of Jesus and is a Jesus in our midst. We just need to stop pity-patting about it and be honest about it. How do you know that these strategies are unique and novel, but also are revolutionary? And the strategy of not returning blows, how can that be revolutionary when everything in our nature tells us that when we are struck, we counterstrike? When we are punched, we get in position for a counterpunch, and if not just one punch, at least a combination to straighten out the record. What Minister Farrakhan does is so revolutionary because it's not the mealy-mouthed action of a pacifist. It's not that he's taking blows and he's soft because he takes the blow. It's not that he's taking attacks and seemingly not responding to them in the way that you and I would respond to them and then thinking, oh, well, the minister's soft. No, what the minister's doing is employing what I believe to be a spiritual version of what we would call the difference between an external and an internal martial art. The external martial art like taekwondo or karate or even some aspects of Chinese boxing or kung fu means that they're striking, blocking, counterpunching, kicking, and an attempt to render the opponent immobile or neutral by the application of force to that person's body. Now, Brother Dimitri, you're familiar with martial arts. Is that a general good explanation of the external martial art?
Yes, sir, it is.
Now, what about Farrakhan? Spiritually, what does he do? I believe that Minister Farrakhan employs an actual battle plan which is more masterful, more economical of the energy, more useful of the ergonomic force at his disposal, because Minister Farrakhan employs what is an internal spiritual martial art like Dai Chi is on the physical plane. What is Dai Chi? How is it different from karate or kung fu or taekwondo? Dai Chi actually employs the energy of your opponent against him in his battle plan, causing you to appear passive in the midst of the fight, but in reality, you are the master of the balance of things. Allah is making the minister into a master of the balance of things in the spiritual and intellectual world, and so that follows course in the physical world. The minister is able to take blows, and you think he's not striking back, but what he has gained over the enemy is the imbalance and the insanity and the scrambling of the brain of the enemy. So now, just like a physical fighter in Tai Chi can take that opponent and by the most economical flicks of the wrist or snaps of the ankle can render that opponent useless and immobile and neutral, so does Minister Farrakhan with the ease and grace that makes a signature of him. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it. That's between Allah and the Christ and him, but I tell you what I see. I see that Allah has given into the hands of the minister the power to determine the future of both his friends and his foes. Because as it says in the New Testament, if you testify of me before men, then I'll testify of you in heaven. He says, what you set loose on earth going to be loosed in heaven. What you bind on earth going to be bound in heaven. You can't make it nowhere near the gate of heaven unless you come through Farrakhan. Take it or let it alone. He has now the power of the reputations, like my brother so brilliantly pointed out. Mel Reynolds had the nerve to attack Minister Farrakhan, but Minister Farrakhan didn't settle on the worst part of that brother, and when the enemies were going in to sentence him to prison for whatever charge they had on him, it was Farrakhan who spoke up for him. When the example of Marion Barry was given, I was in that area of the country at that period of time. Marion Barry was my mayor at one time in the District of Columbia. And we loved Marion Barry. It hurt us that Marion Barry would actually repudiate the minister. But when he reached his nadir, when he reached the depth of his troubles, here comes Minister Farrakhan standing for him. So this is a beautiful topic you have tonight, sister. The heart of that man is so golden. And his sacrifice is that he has given up everything that other people would strive and sacrifice their whole being just to get. What kind of man do you know that has a shown nationally recognized skill as a violin prodigy before he reached adulthood, able to play the pieces of the masters with agility and power and grace and nuance and skill? That was Farrakhan's gift, but he didn't use it. He went to Winston-Salem State Teachers College, and he could have been an educator. Can you imagine a man with that kind of natural charisma in the honored profession of education, teaching and pedagogy and giving the style of learning that he could put forth to our people? Can you imagine how many students he could have made great, but Allah didn't want him limited to the classroom, and Farrakhan didn't choose that. He chose Islam.
That's right, man.
And looked like he sacrificed his musical career. Who else do you know, Brother Dimitri, that was making $500 a week and hadn't even broke big, but $500 a week in 1955? That's a lot of dough.
That's right.
The minister was making that kind of money, but he gave that up when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you got to come out of the music industry. Imagine his sacrifice and his desire to follow his messenger when there at Club Neverly in the Catskills Mountains there in upstate New York on the last night, which he knew would be the last night of his performing career in the way that he had performed prior to that time. The minister said, I danced, I sang, I told jokes, I played my instrument, my violin, I played the ukulele, I did everything that I could possibly do on a stage and killed the crowd. And then just like that, Allah gave a trial and a test, because in his dressing room as he was preparing to pack up his things and go back home to the family, here comes the manager for Pearl Bailey, for Billy Daniels. Y'all know Billy Daniels, the one that's saying that old black magic that you weave so well, right? Billy Daniels' manager, Pearl Bailey's manager, they want to put him on in their stable and pay him even more money than that. The minister said, nope, I choose Islam. So what he gave up was valuable and worthwhile, but what he gained was priceless and above all evaluate. So that is what happens when you sacrifice in the name of Allah. Oh, man, it's so much. Ooh, brother, you gave me the Holy Ghost, Brother Dimitri. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you.
And, I'm just going to briefly say, because I know we're going to run out of time and we might have to come back sometime later and do a part two, but, you know, I have to think about our dear Mother Khadija and type of sister, woman that she is and has been throughout the years. And then I look at the minister's children and what they had to endure for the work that it took their father to build this nation. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has a great abundance of love for us, because not in a neglectful way, not in the case of abandonment, but in a sacrificial way, he, you know, gave up a lot of time for us, from his family, from his beautiful wife, but was still and is still able to maintain family and maintain relationship and marriage. And just for a moment, Brother Dimitri's phone dropped. I know he's probably going to call back in. Just for a brief second, Brother Jamil, what about that particular sacrifice of the family?
Wow. The minister sacrificed, Mother Farrakhan sacrificed, their children sacrificed. Mother Samia Farrakhan, the minister's mother, she sacrificed. His uncle Samuel, he sacrificed. The Farrakhan family has gone through generations now. And when you look at it, I think it's up to five generations who followed and follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, maybe even more. Sixth generation.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Sixth generation. That is a blessing. They can never stop Farrakhan. His family going to keep on coming and keep coming. And every time they think that they can thwart the mission, they'll see another one raise up. Do you see how beautiful his sons were when he said, bring my sons around me at Savior's Day? And those tall, handsome, well-mannered young men stood there with their father, and he talked about the virtues in Islam that produced him. Well, that wasn't always easy. You see, Minister Farrakhan's family, after he gave up his career in music and started working other jobs to feed his family while he studied Islam to the black people of Boston, Massachusetts, Minister Farrakhan and his family didn't have a lot of money. You see Minister Farrakhan today, and you see him in nice clothes and nice shoes and riding in nice vehicles, and you say, hey, that's Farrakhan. He's living the life, but it wasn't always that way. Of course,
that's
he
right.
has a nation now, and we should back him in it, and really, we don't give enough to him to make up for the sacrifice. He couldn't even make up for the sacrifice that he and his family went through. But when
and
he
how many
anytime
years
you,
did they at, eat bean soup, Brother Jamil?
At least 9 years. At least 9 years, from 1955 and 56 all the way up until the time that Minister Farrakhan was assigned to New York in 1965. There were difficult days for them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had instructed the mosque in Boston to extend to Minister Farrakhan a weekly charity for his family of $100. The minister never got more than $35 a week from the mosque. Sometimes the believers were interspersed, if you will, with hypocrites, somebody who didn't like the fact that the minister was as strong as he was in representation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, firebombed the house where he and his family lived, and they had to roll out of bed and escape a fire there at number 37 Intervale Street, next door to the mosque at number 35 Intervale Street in the Roxbury section of Boston. See, you don't know the sacrifice, threats on your life, poverty, feeding your children from a dumpster behind a market, clothing them from the Goodwill, sleeping on a fumigated used mattress. You don't understand what it's like to wear used suits and old suits and shoes with holes in the bottom and walk down the wet streets of cold Boston, Massachusetts to go teach black people some Islam. So whatever Minister Farrakhan and his family get from the blessing of Allah, it is not yet enough for them because they put up with all kinds of hell to teach the message of Islam to us. One last word on sacrifice in the Farrakhan family. Do you know what it was like to have your daddy and your mama around you when you were a little boy and a little girl? Some of you have your father, your dad taught you to ride a bike. Your dad taught you to throw a left jab and hook off the jab. Your dad taught you how to swing at a curveball. Your dad taught you how to pick up a grounder out of the dirt at third base. But the Farrakhan children didn't have a chance for that because their dad was out teaching us Islam 7 days a week. Somewhere in the city where he labored, he was teaching black people Islam. No meeting too small, no group insignificant, no occasion too obscure for him to go there and teach the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So they had effectively given up their father so that we might have a leader, a teacher, a guide, and an example of how we should follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and follow him. So no, sister and brother. There's no gift, no blessing, no favor too great for the minister and for his family, which he just informed us a few weeks ago. He said, I'm so happy that my family is in this work with me, the work of the resurrection of our people. What more could a man ask for? Allah has rewarded the minister, and I'm happy about it. Yes, sir. I'm happy.
All praises due to Allah. Okay, Brother Dimitri, is there anything you wanted to say pertaining to the sacrifice of family of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan?
Can you hear me, Sister Gidget? I think my line had got disconnected.
Yes, sir. We hear you now. Yes, sir.
All I could say would be just to concur with what Minister Jamil has shared so beautifully, is that the minister was willing to sacrifice his family. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, according to the minister, told him, he said, "Brother, you know, if you take care of Allah's work, then Allah will take care of your family." Now, it's one thing to say that, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan believed that, and he did that. And so he was willing to sacrifice spending that quality time that so many of us like to do. And he became essentially the father of a nation. He became the father of Black America, spending time in colleges and spending time down in the southern part of the United States and far remote places from where his family was, so that we would be able to be the kind of men and women that we're striving to be today. I remember reflecting on some of the words of Sister Donna Farrakhan when she was sharing with us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the minister that not to put his daughters into the white man's colleges and universities. Now, you know, just stop and think for a moment. To be a young person wanting to have a professional career and wanting to go and do things that you see other women do, but because your father believes in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, 1,000%, he says that you can't go to a college or university. And so not only has the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sacrificed himself, but as you point out, Sister Gidget and Brother Jamil, his family's also sacrificed. And they have been willing to sacrifice so that a family could be an example for all of the rest of us. And I'm, you know, in 1,000% agreement with Minister Jamil. You know, it's not enough that we could do for Minister Farrakhan. It's not enough that we could do for his family. I'm one of those kinds of persons. I get real testy and very upset when people begin to talk about Minister Farrakhan as though he is some kind of person that is enriching himself on the backs of poor people. Yet these same poor people would not even flinch at paying $100 to go and see Lil Wayne or some other artist or entertainer come on the stage and call our women, you know, obscenities. And yet the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us that which we could receive in no other way, shape, or form, which is revealed guidance from God. I have to say this because, you know, the minister is not just an ordinary preacher. What the minister gives us is divine guidance. If we go back and study his history, we see how every major challenge, every major crisis that Black America has suffered, Minister Farrakhan has been at the forefront of it. Now, we can talk about today in 2014 that the HIV virus adversely affects more African-American females than any other demographic, but it was Minister Farrakhan in the 80s sounding the alarm that this disease was nothing more than biological warfare aimed at African people abroad and aimed at Black people in America. Right.
That's
at
right.
The beginning of the so-called turn of hip-hop, which went from message rap to gangster rap to the filth that it has become today, it was Minister Farrakhan who was touring the country on a Stop the Killing tour, going to our young brothers and sisters who are in the street organizations called gangs, trying to get us to stop the violence 20 years ago. It was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan who had alerted us to the imbalance in the personal care and hair care products to the degree that Black people are consuming products that they neither manufacture or sell or benefit from. Long before Chris Rock did the documentary that everybody raved about called Good Hair. I mean, think about any crisis that we have suffered as a people, and you go and check the record, you'll find that God had given Minister Farrakhan the guidance to help us to avert it long before it manifested in its full strength. And so there's nothing that is too good for him. There's nothing that's too good for his family, you know. And
that's
so we really got to thank God for what we have received in a man who's not only sacrificed, because many people sacrifice, but sometimes people sacrifice in a begrudging kind of way. Minister Farrakhan has willingly sacrificed not only money, economic opportunities, and his family's, but he's even sacrificed his own mind. He told me one time, he said that, you know, I didn't want myself. I wanted Elijah. So I wanted Lewis to die so that Elijah could live in me. Now, you think about a man saying that he wants another man's mind and spirit to inhabit his person. Hell, the average man's ego is too big to say that I would rather who I am and my own individuality to perish so that this other man might have an extension of his life inside of me. So
man,
when you want to talk about sacrifice, we can't talk enough about the sacrifice of the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan and his family.
Am I unmuted? Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Thank you. Brother, man, you couldn't hear me before, but I was bearing witness because you set
we
something
heard
in
you.
My mind. Pardon me?
We heard you.
Okay. So I'm talking about while Brother Dimitri was talking is what I mean. Listen, I want you all to know. I want you all to know something. When Minister Farrakhan, see, there are some moments in life, birth, and rites of passage in families, and even the hour when one must confront the inevitability of the evil accident of time and death. Minister Farrakhan sacrificed his right to have a personal moment with God at the time when it looked like his life was going to leave him. You ought to hear what I'm saying to you. When he's laying there on the table looking death in the face, and all praise is due to Allah, he was able to turn that death angel around, not once, not twice, but three times that we know about. What he did, Brother Dimitri, was he began to thank Allah for the pain, thank him for his life, and thank him for the opportunity to serve and work in the nation of Islam. At the very moment when he thought he might be out of here, he
That's
was
right.
more concerned
That's right.
about us, more concerned about the nation than he was about his own life. When
That's
he was
right.
laying there recovering from a 14-hour surgery, he sent for Steve Harvey. Y'all ought to hear me what I'm saying. Steve Harvey gets to the hospital bed, and the minister draws him close and speaks in a voice indicating that his recovery was just beginning and he was still gaining strength after this grueling procedure. This is in early 2007. He tells Steve Harvey, who thinks he's going to hear something about rites of passage or what do you want me to do? How can I help you get well? How can I help you convalesce? What do you need, Brother Minister? The minister tells him, Brother, go on the airwaves and tell the people to come to Savior's Day in Detroit.
Right.
I'm going to be there.
That's right.
To himself, not for himself, but he's speaking
right
into himself for you and me. What leader do you know that will sacrifice like that? What leader do you know that will love you like that? What leader do you know that when you tear up your life, see, I hope y'all never find out about this in your own experience. But what leader do you know that'll bring you out to the farm in Michigan and tell you he want to talk to you and put you in that little two-seater Mercedes Benz, little black one? And you know, the minister's not a slow driver, dear brother and sister. He's not. He's a slow driver.
That's right.
He don't. And he put me in that little car, and we got to talking about my life because he's sacrificing his time to help me with my foolishness and help me try to get it straight. And as he's driving down the road,
He got his hand, his right hand, he's tapping me on my left forearm while he's making points and he's looking at me, which is not a problem unless you're on a two-lane road going 90 miles an hour through some shade trees. And he's running and telling the truth. I took a deep breath. I said, all praise due to Allah, I'm with your service. Thank you, Allah. He is our brother. He's our friend. He loves us. He prays for us. He meditates on us. He thinks about us. Sometimes we cross his mind, and he just reach out and call us. I got one more thing I want to tell you. Can I tell you one more little thing, Brother Meech? Just one more little thing.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the road, brother. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. When my dad, and I thank Allah for my father, the late, great Mr. Leonard C. Ball, my dad was in Chicago because they were giving an awards banquet for him at an organization that he helped to found called the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. And he was there in Chicago for this award dinner, and I told the minister in 1991, December, that we would be visiting Chicago, and we just wanted to let the minister know we would be in town. He said, great, come by the National House and have dinner with me. He gave us the date and time, so naturally we got dressed and came to the palace, and, you know, there's a procedure and there's the check post and the seating chart. You know how it is, Brother Dimitri. You know?
Yes, sir.
The table for this group and that group, and we got to the palace, got checked, came into the palace with nobody in there but the cook and the minister and me and my dad. And the brothers on security were doing something else somewhere in the house. So we sat at the table, and they talked, Brother Dimitri, Sister Queen Aziza Mariam, they talked for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, while dinner was being served. I had nothing to say because grown men talking. What the heck I'm going to say, brother? Grown men. This is true. As the minister and as my dad and I were preparing to leave the table that night, the minister was so gracious. My father thanked him for what he was doing with me. You know, don't ask me why. I know y'all want to laugh. No, your father thanked him. Yeah, but he was thanking him for what he was doing with me. And the minister said, no, thank you for letting us have your son to help in the mission. It was really beautiful. And the funny thing is, my dad stopped short at the door as the minister was letting us out. He said, Brother Minister, can I ask you a favor? He said, sure, Brother Leonard. What is it? He said, if anything happens to me, would you just kind of look out for my son? You know how he is. Just look out for him if you can. The minister said, he laughed. He said, well, brother, I don't think it's going to happen to you. But sure, I'll look out for him. 7 months later, my father passed away from an aneurysm on July the 5th. And sometimes, even to this day, in the recent history, the minister will always say to me, he said, you know, I promised your dad I'd look out for you. Sometimes he'll call my son, me and my son riding on in the car together. He'd just pick up the phone, call him, and he'd talk to my son and tell him great things about himself and say, son, you can do it. See, he's not just a great man. I'm submitting for your approval tonight in the listening audience that he is a good man.
That's right. That's right.
He's a
That's
man
right.
who's not just great. He's profoundly good. The quality of the man. He's so full of love, it falls out of him, and he don't even know that it's going away. He Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad and his friends from college in a little carryout in Indiana. They were on their way to hear Minister Farrakhan speak at the University of Indiana in Bloomington, and they had stopped to get a burger. And lo, they saw a little short black man with a bald head and real attentive, darting eyes come into the room and look around and stand the whole place. He walked back out, and then a few minutes later, they heard the bell on the screen go bling, 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 and it was Minister Farrakhan, and it turns out that little man was Captain Yusuf Shah. And they were walking around the place, get a cup of coffee on the way to the speaking engagement, and they hunched each other, and there he is. That's Farrakhan right there, man. They heard him talking. And the minister went over and greeted them. They told him that they were on the way from their college, Antioch College in Ohio, to come and hear him speak. The minister said, well, brothers, you be safe. We have to get on out and make it over there. May Allah bless you.
on the way out the door, unbeknownst to Minister Aleem and his friends, this is 1968, unbeknownst to them, the minister stopped by the counter and gave the waitress and the counter cashier, gave them a $50 bill and said, feed them whatever they want. Give them whatever they want. It's on me. I just don't want those brothers to worry about nothing. Let them keep their money and give them whatever they want. And whatever they don't take is yours for a tip. Now, in those days, I think their tab, their total tab may have been around $4. You think that was a happy waitress? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And years later, I was with Dr. Aleem when he told the minister that story. And the minister looked blank, didn't recall it, had no recollection of it whatsoever. And Aleem was saying, don't you remember? Don't you remember it was in such and such a town in Indiana? And the minister said, no. And the minister taught us something, Sister Gidja. He taught us. He said, when you do good, you don't remember it because it is your nature to do
that's
good.
Right.
You're
that's
created
right.
to do right. He said, when you do wrong, you remember it forever.
That's
I
right.
bet you, Brother Dimitri, if you had ever did wrong in your life, you would still remember it if you had ever. See, me.
This is not an operative word.
I remember stealing a bubble gum in the third grade. Man, that bubble gum had burnt in my pocket. I was like, oh, I got to take that bubble gum back. Because you remember.
That's right.
Everything wrong that you did. The minister forgot all about what he did for Dr. Aleem and his friends. Why? Because he's a good man. And he's
that's right, brother. That's right.
Ooh, man, this is a Holy Ghost meeting tonight. Ooh, this is a Holy Ghost meeting right here. Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, listen, let us let you catch your breath. Let us take a call from Louisiana, the boot state, and let's see what they have
boot.
To say. The
yeah.
boot. As-salamu alaykum, Mary, you call 318.
Assalamualaikum. This is Sister Kamala. How's everyone doing?
Fine, sister. How are you?
Teacher.
That's my
I'm
teacher
fine.
Right there.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying the show. I'll pray to speak to Allah. And even
yes.
though I haven't met the minister personally, I can honestly say that he has inspired my life like no one else has. Oh, my God. He's just beautiful. Every time I read anything from him, every time I listen to him, he just inspires me through a lot through him, to just keep going, to keep pushing, to keep believing. And so I just want to thank Allah for, first of all, coming and pressing of Master Farah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger and definitely the honorable Louis Farrakhan as our leader, divine guide, and warner today. I'm just overwhelmed, thrilled, and just thankful to be alive at this time. So basically, I just want to share that he's definitely a person of God, and I would say it to the world and defend him to the day that I die, that he is a person of God. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you all for listening, and I'm enjoying the show. So have a blessed rest of the evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister, and thank you. And, you know, and if anyone wants to comment, and I'm sorry I didn't do this earlier, you want to comment, you got a question, press one on your dial pad. I've been accommodating those in the chat room. But if you just want to call in, give the greetings, or say something about the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan, press one, and we'll take your question or your comment. Now, Brother Jamil, I know you're going to have to go, but I want you and Brother Dimitri, before you do, I want to talk about something that you had expounded on in your book, Brother Dimitri, and that is, it was a paragraph or a section that said, without letters but learned. And when we look at the infinite wisdom of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and with awe, this
divine man
can sit down and talk to anybody about anything at any time.
That's correct.
And he doesn't hail from all these fancy universities and institutions of learning, but he has supreme wisdom. So whoever wants to go first.
Well, let me say this because I got to go, Brother Dimitri, if you don't mind. Sister, you ask some hard questions. You ask some questions where it's so much. I know it's burning in your mind, Brother Dimitri, because it's burning in my mind. But you know what? You know what, Sister Gizzy? I'm going to say this to you just to make it simple and short. How is it that this man, having not letters, is learned? This was the wonderment of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Sanhedrins. They wondered when they saw Jesus how he had not come through their institutions of learning, yet he was handcuffing them with the pristine beauty and majesty of the syllogistic logic that he laid on them. They couldn't handle it.
That's right.
Suggested, stating outright that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is taught by a man who is taught by God. This is why we have to confront the reality, and I say this as I leave you, the most difficult truths of the nation's philosophy, teachings, theology, things that you don't like to share with people because they laugh at you. Oh, y'all believe in a mother wheel. Well, now that you see disappearing planes, what you think?
That's right. That's right.
You believe the white man only? You believe the white man is only 6,000 years old and was made on the Isle of Patmos by a scientist named Yaku? Now that scientists are bearing witness to that, what do you believe? Y'all must be crazy. You only eat one meal a day? One meal a day? Wow, you'll starve trying to eat like that. Oh, did you see the caloric restriction research by the best medical science in the world?
What do you
think now? Farrakhan stands on a platform established by God. Therefore, his learning, his wisdom, is not of this world. Not only can he sit and talk with anyone, sister, he can sit and teach anyone.
Come on.
Brother Dimitri, you know, you've seen him go into a room full of lawyers and teach them jurisprudence.
That's right.
You've seen him sit with medical doctors and teach them the science of healing and the art of medicine.
That's right.
You've seen him go in among the masons and shriners and teach them the real meaning of their mystic symbolism and symbiotics. He teaches them all of that because he's from God. Y'all better deal with it. Farrakhan's teacher is Christ. I can't beat around the bush no more. His teacher is Christ, and he's the one that God is making up all up into himself. And that one is making Farrakhan to take his place among the people. Man, it's a great day to be a Muslim. A FOI and an MGT, pop your collar, y'all. It's about to get real. You better be a Muslim. It's about to get real. I love you both. Thank you so much. Let me know how the end of the show goes. I'll be listening, but I have another thing I have to do. But I'll be listening. I won't be able to talk, okay?
Okay. Well, I'll be
yes,
right
sir.
There.
Thank
you,
brother, for your
deal.
Wisdom.
I might be tardy for the meeting, but I'll be there.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you one and all. Brother Dimitri, I hope to see you soon in Memphis or wherever else our paths cross. But I'm about to get some dust on my brother. I'm going to get some dust on my shoes. And I'm going to tell you like the Williams brother said, I'm just a nobody. I have to tell everybody about somebody. God Almighty, they can save anybody. What?
All right, now. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
love y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Love you too, brother. Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Jamil. All praises due to Allah. Okay, Brother Dimitri, I'm going to come back with some other things that I think is from your book. But before then, we're going to take a question or comment from the line. So area code 773, you have a question or comment?
As-salamu alaykum, family. Sister Gidja, you know who this is.
Oh, as-salamu alaykum, Brother Rocky. I didn't know. I mean, you know, it's so many people from Chicago on the line. It's hard to keep up. And you have that Chicago area code down in Mississippi, though, Brother Rakim. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Wa alaykum salam. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Dimitri. How you doing, brother?
Wa alaykum salam. Fine, by Allah's grace.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I just want to say this is such a wonderful, wonderful show. And Brother Jamil has come at us with a whole lot of history that a lot of believers have never heard. Me, myself, I have not heard a lot of what he has touched on. And I want to thank Allah for our dear sister, Queen Maryam, for bringing such a wonderful show to us tonight. Such a wonderful show. I want to thank you too, Brother Dimitri, for joining us and doing such a wonderful job. I mean, this show has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Must I say, all praises due to Allah.
Thank you,
Brother Rakim.
Thank you so much for your support throughout time. And Brother Rakim is the founder of Nathanfield Group and Nathanfield Movement. And so he's one of the reasons why I'm sitting here right now today. So all praises to Allah. Good to hear from you, dear brother.
I'm just a nobody tuning in, since I'm like my brother Jamil. I'm just a nobody.
Okay. If you say so. All right. Thank you. Okay. Brother Dimitri, you know, I want to, for, I guess on my behalf, because I know we will revisit this again sometime in the future, but I think I have avoided for a long time dealing with some of the criticism that the minister faces on a regular basis. And I've avoided it because I'm just not there yet. You know, I'm not that good a Muslim yet where I can represent our minister in the best of light. Because, you know, if you say something about him, if you go too far, I'm one of those that looks ahead, people. Tell you things, take you back to South Shore, they can severe your drive and Compton, and we can break it down like that. So, but the constant, what I call abuse, or the constant character assassination, it is expected from me for our open enemy to project that. It is so hurtful when I see it from our people. And I know historically it comes from social media, the Jewish control media. Really spend a lot of time assassinating the parents of young people. So there are
Sister Gidget, I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you better now.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to crush some of those rumors. Like I said, on this program for the first time, because I have avoided them for so long, and some of the things that have been lingering over the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The first thing, I guess, has been anti-Semitism. So, if I had to defend him, which I already know, but I want our people to know, I want them to understand that when these things are said about the minister, how do we defend? What is the best way to defend that and represent ourselves in an intelligent way as followers of the Park?
Well, first of all, we have to qualify our terms. To be anti-Semitic means to be in opposition. It literally means to be in opposition of the Semitic peoples. It would be very difficult for Minister Farrakhan to be anti-Semitic when black people and African people are considered to be a part of the Semitic family of people, many of our ancestors speaking Semitic languages. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to look at the connotation of the term, which is used to refer to those who are anti-Jewish. And the minister has never been anti-Jewish, but the minister is always referred to in his way because he is the kind of leader who does not respect what has become a norm in public life in America, which is that you can criticize any segment of the population, but you cannot criticize the Jewish community. And so the minister criticizes evil wherever it is found and does not respect any barriers in terms of criticizing the evil and corruption and warning people that if they continue such wickedness and corruption, they are going to receive the chastisement or punishment from God. And this has been the minister's message. Part of our problem is that we don't know the history that we need to know to be able to put those who charge the minister as being anti-Semitic on the defensive, because we can show and we have shown in the research group that various segments of the Jewish community have always worked to oppose progress and independence and economic independence, especially among black people. And so every great leader of ours that has had an economic component to their program of struggle, to their proposed solutions for black America, at some point in their history of struggle, members of the Jewish community have come out of the woodworks to condemn them and call them anti-Semitic. They have inserted themselves into every critical area of commerce, finance, and economics, and they have considered that domain theirs and theirs exclusively. So when black people say that we want a black economy, we want to control our own revenue, we want the black dollar to circulate more than one time through the black community, then members of the Jewish community, they oppose that. They opposed the work of the Nation of Islam all over America. You've heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan refer to them having a function in our life as corruptors. Well, it would surprise some to know that there are members of the Jewish community who history records as being the fathers of the narcotics trade in America, the drug industry, the dope industry. If you go back to Detroit, Master Farah Muhammad comes into Detroit and he gives out 25,000 holy names. He had touched the lives of 25,000 black people, many of whom were addicted to alcohol and other life-destroying narcotics. And in Detroit, there was a Jewish organization called the Purple Gang that the Jewish professor Robert Rockaway writes about in detail. And the elder Brothman, the patriarch of the Brothman family, was connected to this gang in Detroit. And in a city where there were 25,000 black people who accepted Islam, there were also 25,000 illegal establishments referred to, they're called blind pigs, but they were essentially these little saloons that were that dotted the landscape of Detroit that sold illegal alcohol to black people and others in the city of Detroit. Now, put this in the context of a people who have deemed themselves to be the chosen people of God, that the Bible says that the world blessed in them. Yet the history is clear that wherever we have been, they have been, they have attached themselves to us, not in a beneficial way, not in a way that where we were blessed by them, but in a way where they corrupted us. And so we got to learn their history, Sister Gidget, to be able to defend the minister by putting them on the defensive, because in truth, the minister has nothing to defend himself for. We use this term as like a campaign slogan, defending Farrakhan. But to be quite honest with you, The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has nothing that he needs to be defended for. No, today we're after an affirmative defense. An affirmative defense, and I learned this from Student Minister Ava Mohammed. An affirmative defense is the kind of defense in law, in legal terms, where the defendant introduces new facts into evidence that causes the prosecution now to go on the defensive, you see. And that is where we have to go, and the only way we can go there is that we learn the history of this community of people who have functioned in the life of black people in America as corruptors, which makes them naturally conflict with the reformation work, the restorative work of Master Farrakhan Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Now think about what I just shared with you, Sister Gidget. And
yes,
think about that in the light of here is Minister Farrakhan. He has a group of his followers who organized themselves into a force called the Dope Busters. That's part of the history of the nation, fighting against dope, fighting against drugs, trying to get our people off of this junk. Their history includes members of their community introducing dope among black people. See, this is a history that we have to be armed with if we're going to, quote-unquote, defend Farrakhan, but really to help show why those who charge Farrakhan have more that they need to be defending themselves against. We now have to begin to not just defend the charge against us, but we have to charge back.
That's right. Right. Thank you,
Mr. Gidget, I can hardly hear you. I don't know if you're away from your microphone.
Let me see. Can you hear me better?
Oh, much better now.
Oh, okay, okay. Maybe that's my raggedy Bluetooth. Okay. Now, just one more. There were a couple of more, but it's just one more I want to deal with, and I really want to bury it. I would say put it to bed, but, you know, when you go to bed, you have a tendency to get up. I really want to bury this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Malcolm X. Now, I know, and I know you know, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan loved Minister Malcolm. And here it is, 49 years after the fact, and this reputation of him being a co-conspirator, whatever it is, his involvement, whatever it was, it's still lingering on. But you know and I know that, Brother Dimitri, conspiracy to commit murder is a crime. And
right.
That if it is such, someone who is powerful in the black community, someone who is standing us up and teaching us to go upright, if this was true, then they would have done away with or at least incarcerated the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan a long time ago. But it doesn't concern me what the CIA and the FBI and, you know, local law enforcement agencies will do, because we've seen that history. We've seen it with the Panthers. We've seen it with Martin, with Malcolm, with Mega. We've seen it with Malcolm. But our people, our very own people, who may not have been affiliated with the nation at that time or even now, will still get this information and still look at the minister in a bad light. And we just really need to be able to put that to bed. So what do you say when confronted about that?
Well, first thing I would say is that a lot of these excellent questions a part of a presentation in a PowerPoint lecture entitled The Top 10 Myths about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that is a part of our two-day Defending Farrakhan seminar that we are touring the country with. And in part of that seminar, we address this controversy of people seeing that Minister Farrakhan had something to do with the death of Malcolm X. And, you know, sometimes we can go beyond the obvious in trying to respond to certain issues. But the first thing is very obvious is that, as you pointed out, Sister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has never been charged with any criminal activity, period, certainly not any criminal activity related to the death of Malcolm X. That's number one. That's very obvious, but it's very powerful because it shows the disconnect between public opinion being shaped by propaganda versus the facts as they are. And so, you know, when you're dealing with truth, you want facts, you want evidence. You don't want to go on the basis of he said, she said, and innuendo, lies, and slander. You need facts. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that within internal memorandums of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, they took credit for the conditions that ultimately took the life of Malcolm X. As a matter of fact, they celebrated Malcolm's assassination as an accomplishment of Hoover's COINTELPRO program. Now, let's stop for a minute. Most of the times when we hear the 6 o'clock news and people talk about, well, there's a terrorist act that was taking place over here, and now this group is taking responsibility for it. Well, we never go beyond the group that say they're responsible for it. I don't think there was much investigation into 9/11 after there was a alleged information where Osama bin Laden took credit for it. I don't think that there's much investigation after events that take place in Israel where Hamas and Hezbollah take credit for it. In this event, it was the Federal Bureau of Investigations that took credit for Brother Malcolm's assassination. Now, on top of that, they document that they considered Malcolm's assassination to be something of a model that they could use to go and assassinate other leaders that they deemed that were enemies, if you will. One such person that they assassinated was Fred Hampton, the young firebrand leader of the Chicago division of the Black Panther Party. And so they outlined how they would do this. They began by creating factions within organizations. They began by dividing certain elements within an organization, and once they could alienate those factions from one another, they could kill one and blame their murder on the other. This is textbook. But, you know, we don't read and we don't study history. We just go off of, you know, what we see on television or what is talked about, you know, in casual conversations. So there's so much more that we could bring to bear on this. But, you know, for that, you know, we just save that for, you know, our presentations. But I just, you know, the touch is just to say that the minister has not had anything to do with Brother Malcolm's assassination. Certainly no member of the Nation of Islam at that time had any warm and fuzzy feelings about Malcolm when he betrayed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, you could not do that no more than you could love your own blood brother or sister if they began to act in a harmful way against your mother and father. I mean, that's natural. You know, your mother and father give you biological, physical life. If one of your siblings, whom they also gave physical life to, now becomes an enemy of your parent, you by definition become an enemy of that which was the source of your physical life and existence. Same way it was with respect to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who gave his followers mental and spiritual life, moral life, raised us from the dead. And so if you came against him and we loved him, then by definition, we can't love that that is the enemy of that which we do love. So that's a given. But to say that you are responsible for the death of such a person, no, those who believed in God and believed in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad believed that Malcolm's fate rested with Allah. Allah could have brought him back, which was the belief of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we have learned that Malcolm was making an effort through writing letters to come back to the nation. But
right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan had nothing to do with Brother Malcolm's assassination.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I just want our people to know that and be very clear about that, because it's the same old game of divide and conquer. And, you know, it's the character assassination, that's the crucifixion more than anything else that the minister has endured for years. And, you know, there were a couple more that I wanted to go through, but I'm gonna let those ride for now. And I want to talk to you briefly, Brother Demetric, about the impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because I guess we don't study beyond what we can see. And we know that the minister has been standing up for us here in North America for the last 58 years. But I was watching some of the clips from the World Friendship Tour, and I always watch this, and I always say I can't watch it, and it just melts my heart, because I can't remember where he was, but they sacrificed the ram for him. And he had been in a place where they had showered him with many gifts of appreciation. And, you know, with all of the hoopla, so to speak, the massive amount of celebrations that he had endured while he was in this place, the one thing that stuck out to him, or that stayed with him, out of all the gold and the, you know, what they draped him with, these fine robes and all of this, and his thought and his heart went back to the ram who had sacrificed his life as a gift to the minister. And This is the part of the heart that I really wanted to get to, because we look at, and I can say for myself, we look at Minister Farrakhan being so strong and so powerful, so wise, and so divine once we study and understand him. But then there's that passion and that compassion. And so speak to us about that, Brother Demetric.
Well, you know, that's, you know, the heart of the minister, you know, his compassion for all living creatures, his compassion for humanity. He is a great humanitarian. I think that goes
mm-hmm.
without saying. That's rather obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, his ministry has impacted so many people, a diverse group of people. And that's one of
yes.
the motivations for what we included in our book. We wanted the world to have a record of how this controversial man, this much maligned man, this much vilified man, this man that has had the most powerful of enemies, has yet impacted the life of so many people of importance. Of Jesus, it was said that the poor heard him gladly. But Jesus also had an impact on people like Nicodemus, who was a highly placed member of the Jewish community, who came around Jesus at nighttime to talk to him and to be taught by him. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has impacted mayors and governors and Supreme Court justices and actors and musicians and rappers and professors and journalists. They are black. They are white. They are male. They are female. They are from the hip-hop generation. They are from the millennials generation. They are from the baby boomer generation. So his impact is the kind of impact that causes us to see it as the kind of impact that is divinely ordained. You know, one of the intriguing methodologies that scientists use whenever they happen upon an organism that they don't know what it is, they first proceed with a thorough examination. And they examine this thing, and they determine if it's living or non-living. They determine if it's, you know, plant or animal. They look at all of these different kinds of criteria to see what this thing is. And once they perform an examination, they go from an examination to a classification. So I think that if we look, use that methodology with respect to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, see, I would just say to the listeners, you know, if you have been told negative things about Minister Farrakhan, examine Minister Farrakhan for yourself. Perform an examination. And then once you perform an examination, you are qualified then to classify him, perform a classification. And then you'll understand why we put him in the category of being a divine man. Because it's nothing but a divine man who could have the kind of universal and global and diverse impact that the minister has had. You know, he's not just impacted his own race, he's impacted other races. He hasn't just impacted his own gender. He's impacted the opposite sex or the opposite gender. He's not just impacted his own religion, his own co-religionist. He's impacted people of all faiths. Fact about it, of the nearly 2 million men who met the minister who came according to his call at the Million Man March, statistically 80% of those men identify themselves as being Christian. So how is it that a man that is so vilified and so maligned and so criticized, yet able to, amidst all of that kind of negative propaganda, able to positively impact all of these kinds of people? The only conclusion that we can come to is that this is a man that God has ordained to do what he's doing. And that's the thing I want people to understand, is that we have arrived at our belief with respect to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a conclusion, as really the only conclusion to explain this Farrakhan phenomenon. We cannot explain it in any other way. His work is not the fruit of charisma. His work is not the fruit of beautiful oration. It's not the fruit of simply wisdom. The effect that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has produced is the kind of effect that the only thing we can compare it to is the effect that prophets and messengers of God had on the people of their day. And so, you know, Sister Gidget, this is my passion, so you'll have to stop me, but I'll put a pin in it because I'll go on and we'll be into tomorrow. But, you know, there's a lot of this what I'm talking about now in the book, Who Do They Say I Am? The Vindication of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It was a book review done by our great sister Layla Muhammad. And this week's issue of The Final Call, and it's available from our website, www.researchminister.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. We're going to take a comment before we close. Okay. Area code 843. Area code 843. Your mic is live. Okay, go on once, go on twice. Okay, and Brother Demetric, I just want to say you did a wonderful job on this book, and I use it for a reference for a lot of occasions. So I thank you for the work and just the detail that you've compiled here, and you know, all the quotes from various people from all over the world. It's a beautiful read, and if you haven't gotten this book, please get this book. It's Who Do They Say I Am? The Vindication of Minister Louis Farrakhan by our own beloved brother student minister Demetric Muhammad. And before we close, I just want to read something right quick, because, you know, I think we have shared how we all feel about the minister and how we look at the minister. But Brother Demetric, in your book, you shared an excerpt from Closing the Gap, and it says, what does Minister Farrakhan think about himself? But I'm only going to go through the first paragraph. But it says, I was telling Brother Jibril two nights earlier that no matter what people say of me and how people are saying things all over the world, I feel like a little boy inside of a mature man. Now look at that picture, a little boy inside of a mature man. As the man is getting older and wiser, the people outside are relating to this mature man who is representing Allah God, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, and the truth. But on the inside, there is a little boy who is almost oblivious to the kudos and the praise and all that is being said to the mature man on the outside. The little fellow on the inside may want to play. He may want to do some little silly thing. He is not even aware of the greatness that Allah God is making of him. He is just happy being a little boy on the inside of a mature man. What can you say? How humble is that? Wow. That was absolutely beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. And now, Brother Demetri, you've been around him. He simply has no ego at all.
Well, you know, is that a question?
Yes. I'm putting you on the spot.
The minister is a human being, and he would tell you that he has similar struggles of any human being. That's what he would say. But
yes,
you know, from me observing him, I think I feel like most people feel. You know, we can't see the minister having an ego, certainly not an ego problem, you know.
Right.
The ego is nothing wrong with having an ego, because the ego or the concept of self or the self-awareness is appropriate to do what it's supposed to do. But I would have to say of the minister that what you just read is, you know, really the way he conducts himself. He's not a person who commands a whole lot of self-importance. He's the kind of person that when you're in his presence, he's always trying to lift those that are in his presence. And I think that that's a lesson that we must all adopt. Because when you're in the minister's presence, he makes you feel secure. He makes you feel loved. He makes you feel like you're all right. He makes you feel like you can be free to be yourself. He doesn't make you feel that you're less than or that you're worthless or that you have no value. he probably, I would say, makes most people feel like they have more value, you know, than certainly they think they have. But that's just
right.
His beautiful way. And if we adopt it, see, again, we had to be careful saying that we believe he's Jesus if we're not willing to reflect what that means. If we believe he's Jesus, then the people should find among us, Sister Gidget, that we love one another as he has loved us. And I had to just say that, you know, I had to put my minister hat on for a second because, see, that's critical what Jesus says in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament says this, love ye one another or love your neighbor as yourself. But now Jesus ups the ante. He asks and he places the expectation on the believer that they would manifest a particular kind of love, that which he in his own person had demonstrated. He made a demonstration of the appropriate kind of love, which involved what me and Minister Jamil were talking about earlier, being willing to forgive your brother 70 times 7, being willing to take a blow without returning a blow. This was a new kind of love. This goes beyond and beyond because, theoretically, if I don't love myself too much, and the only expectation is that I love you as I love myself, if I hate myself, then I'm going to hate you too. So Jesus fixes that problem in the scripture by saying that people will know you're my disciples because you love one another as I have loved you. I washed your feet. I was willing to give my life for you. I fed you. I taught you. I ministered unto your needs. I made you feel safe and secure. Now you got to do that among yourselves because otherwise you're going to tell people I was the Christ and they're not going to believe you. But if they see the love in you that I demonstrated while I was present among you, then the people will say, oh, he was the Christ. Because there's no one that could have produced love in that community but a man infused with the spirit and the power of God. So now for us to say he's Jesus, it's good for us to arrive at that kind of conclusion, but we need to realize that puts a responsibility on our shoulders to become what Dr. King referred to as the beloved community, a community and a group of people that when you come into it, you may have been scarred going through the toils and the snares of life. But you come among us, and we make you feel secure. We add to your feeling of worth, and you feel free to be what Almighty God Allah created you to be, and you can soar like a bird. And so that is what I would say to that, dear sister.
Yes, sir. Oh, that was beautiful. And you know, you're exactly right. You get no argument from me. We have to, I think that is the best way that we represent following the minister, saying that we're followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's about how we treat one another and that love being reflected from me to you, from us to everyone else. That is the example because that's exactly what the messenger came and did, and that is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been doing for almost 60 years. He has just been giving us an abundance of love across the carpet with no condemnation, no judgment, just loving us for being black people. And that's why, personally for me, it pains me so for him to be so misunderstood because there's so much hatred right on our own block, right, and sometimes in our own homes. And here's one who has given us unconditional love in spite of ourselves, and we still doubt and we still question, and no one can name not one thing that he has done to hurt black people, but we still judge him and condemn him and we crucify him. We do as a people. And that is got to stop because he is our only savior. He's our only lifeline. He's our road to salvation. And I pray that our people would open up their eyes and be able to see. So, Brother Dimitri, thank you so, so very much from the depths of my heart, dear brother, for doing this show with me. You know, I've been trying to do it for a couple of weeks now, so we finally got it done, and I appreciate
you
so, so very much. Thank you for coming on, and of course, you know, you're at home on Nation Building Network, so anytime that you want to come on, you know you're welcome. You don't even need an invitation. Just call me and let me know you want to be on, and we got you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sister Aziz. I really do appreciate it, and always thankful to Allah for all you do for us in creating this programming that helps to strengthen us in our downtime. You know, it's one thing to go to the mosque and the study group, but then sometimes you're in your downtime and you need to hear some encouragement. You need to hear something that will fortify you. You need to hear something that will confirm you. And so you help provide that by organizing these programs. And I thank Allah for you and all that you do. And may Allah continue to bless you and strengthen you and protect you and enrich you.
Oh, thank you, dear brother. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. Okay, let me give the lineup. Tomorrow, 8 p.m., join us with Brother Kareem, The True History of Jesus, Part 2. On Tuesday, we're going to have Disaster Preparedness at 7 p.m. with Brother Rudolph Muhammad and Sister Lachelle. On Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. On Thursday, me and Brother Reginald will be right back here at 8 o'clock with another intriguing topic, and that one is going to be called When Love Leaves Home, and we're going to be talking about infidelity in the marriage. And on Friday, join us. Student Minister James will be back with our live study group. Next Saturday, join us for Young Gifted in Black. We're going to have some new music and some new artists. And on Sunday, Brother Reginald will be right back here with the Educational Paradigm. And Brother Reginald, since you're still with us, can we get a sneak peek of the topic?
Yes, ma'am. We're just gonna continue from last week on the theology and educational paradigm, and it's gonna be Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam, part two.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining us in the chat room and on the telephones. And may Allah continue to bless you and keep you. And may you have a productive and safe week. We leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.